Today, it's the reported hacker team from Guardians of Peace that probably wins the box office battle at the movies. The Interview will not open around the country, that we know. And so, question, can you still review a movie that's been erased from our planet? The answer is a resounding yes. Kristen Meinzer, culture producer for The Takeaway, co-host of the Movie Date podcast, was in on a screening of The Interview. Welcome.
Hi, John.
So, before we talk about whether it's any good or not, do you think it was a cheap shot or was it real serious political satire against a dictator nation?
Well, you know, it's cheap in that it's the sort of humor you'd expect from Seth Rogen and James Franco when they're together. They're bumbling. They like drugs. They make a lot of mistakes. They have a lot of sex. There's a lot of really dumb stuff in it. But I think it's smarter than most people would expect, actually, how it looks at the way a dictatorship works and how we see coups rise up and how people implicate themselves through their own words rather than how they're taken down by others.
So here's a response from Kim Myung-choi, executive director of the Center for Korean-American Peace, an official spokesman for the North Korean government. Now, it's not known if they saw a pirated copy of The Interview over in Pyongyang, but he remarked that it shows the desperation of the U.S. government and American society. Did you see in the movie the desperation of the U.S. government and American society?
You know, the CIA does seem a little bit eager to do something to take down Kim Jong-un. But I wouldn't say that this is a movie of desperation. It's a really silly, farcical movie on the same level as maybe Team America or something along those lines.
Although, as Sharon Waxman pointed out earlier this week, Team America also satired the United States. That's not so much the case here, although it does satire journalists.
Oh, yes. It definitely satires journalists as well as, you know, the CIA and how our relationship with the media and the government and the American public, how intertwined that is just as much as it is in a propaganda state like North Korea.
Does this hit writers harder than it does studios?
Ooh, that's tough. I mean, I think that the uprising all over the Twitter sphere indicates that the creatives out there, the writers, the actors and so on, are very upset about all of this. They were very upset that Sony pulled the film. But and then the industry folks are the ones who are being much more cautious right now.
But the creatives have always been grumpy in their relationship with the studio.
Oh, yeah. They want their free speech. They want their creative ideas out there. They don't want to be suppressed, and they want their First Amendment rights to be recognized.
But if Rogan really wanted to do a smart comedy about – and this may be it. This may be a smart comedy about it, about North Korea. He could do an indie production, not do a big budget $40 million, $90 million production like this.
Oh, I'm sure he has enough money probably to fund an indie if he wanted to, but this is going to reach a much bigger audience, right?
Would have.
That's correct.
All right, yeah. Before we go, did you like it?
You know, I would say that I liked it a lot more than I expected. I really,
really
did. Yeah, and I have to make something clear. One of the things that I thought was the best thing about the movie is that what we see is a world leader, a dictator, taking himself down and his team and the people around him taking him down. In the end, it wasn't even the U.S.'s fault that he is taken down in the movie.
So it was Shakespeare. Hubris brought down the dictator and then we get to see him explode?
There is an explosion, yes.
There is an explosion. Kristen Meinzer of the Movie Date podcast. The rest of the movies this holiday weekend will be reviewed on the podcast.
Yes, our podcast is coming out a bit late this week. We're going to be releasing it on Monday, but we'll be talking about Annie, about the new Hobbit movie, and about the Final Night at the Museum movie.
All right. Kristen Meinzer, thanks so much.
Thanks.
Caroline calling from Alaska. We're supposed to be the land of the free and the home of the brave. Looks like we've slipped a little in both categories. Paraphrasing, I'm sure not correctly. Benjamin Franklin, that if we sacrifice freedom for security, we deserve neither.
Hi, my name is Rich Arp. I'm calling from San Francisco, California. Just wanted to say I wholeheartedly support pulling the movie The Interview from movie theaters. In fact, I don't think enough has been done. I will only be satisfied if and when all movies starring Ben Stiller or Adam Sandler, in addition to Seth Rogen, are pulled from theaters. If I had a time machine and the means, I'd also pull all of the Star Wars sequels from the late 90s. Keep fighting the good fight, man.
Rick Sharp sounds like he actually may be calling from North Korea there. From Portland, Oregon, the context of comedy is often a challenge, clearly lost on North Korea, but to deny access to a work because of threats is giving into weird extortion on Sonny's part. Safety and the perception of safety is important, so that needs to be addressed in these nervous times. Steve Carell's movie about North Korea has also been canceled. We should point that out in the news here. And Paramount has canceled screenings of Team America, scheduled as a replacement for The Interview. So, nervous times indeed. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Your calls and texts, always welcome. Find us at Twitter at The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.